I'm very happy now to welcome Jane Bernard. She is a photographer, and Tamara Bates is with us. She is with Art for Social Change. Jane's show of photographs, India, A Personal Journey, opens tomorrow, Wednesday, from 5 to 7 at Victoria Price Art and Design here in Santa Fe. And the exhibition will be accompanied by a trunk show of fine weavings by women in India, which is a benefit for the Gramshri Trust. Welcome, Tamara and Jane, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. So nice to be here.
Thank you.
So let's talk, Jane, about your photographs. You are an extraordinary photographer. What was your motive in going to India? Did you have a specific set of places or people or something that you wanted to photograph?
I went traveled in southern India, and I was there for about 3 weeks, and I didn't have a particular assignment for myself, or it was one of the few times that I've traveled in the last several years without having an assignment. I was traveling just for the pure joy of traveling and traveling with my camera. The purpose was a photographic trip, but my intention was to go and to refresh my connection to seeing, to get reacquainted with my camera, to looking, and to just enjoy photographing again, because I was at a point where I felt a little bit burnt out, and I was starting to feel as though my work was looking a bit canned.
I suppose that's a kind of occupational hazard of being a photographer who's always on assignment and deadline.
True.
So you went to southern India. What happened? What did you do? What was the first thing you started photographing?
The first place that we went to was a crocodile farm.
Really?
and a snake catchers cooperative.
Good heavens.
And I was pretty surprised at how fascinating I found it. The crocodile farm was, the purpose of the crocodile farm was to help preserve species or subspecies of crocs that are becoming endangered. And the snake catchers cooperative was founded to support a particular tribe who were very skilled at catching snakes. And in the 70s, they outlawed the export or the sale of snakeskin in India because I guess certain snakes were becoming endangered. So the Snake Catchers Cooperative was founded to support help support the tribe, and the tribe catches snakes and then milks them for anti-venom.
Oh, my goodness.
It milks them for venom to create anti-venom.
Yeah, yeah.
And then returns the snakes to the wild. So it was very, I've never been to a snake catchers cooperative before.
As I trust none of our listeners have either.
And it was really fascinating. They focus on, and we'll get to talking about other things, because largely I went to temples and spiritual places, but the snake catchers cooperative, they have cobras, Russell vipers, the common crate, and the saw-scaled viper, and they brought them out. And what was really fascinating to me was how comfortable and relaxed they were around handling the snakes, just the way you and I would be around petting our dogs.
These are poisonous snakes.
Most definitely.
Snakes that will do you in within 10 seconds of their bite. Okay.
And I was really fascinated by this, and the light in what they call the snake pit, which is where they keep the snakes in these big ceramic jars, was really poor. And I thought, it's going to be really difficult to make a great image here. But it was so much fun to photograph. I'm fascinated by snakes. So that was the first place I went on my journey, and then we moved on and, you know, went to many temples and sacred places, places of pilgrimage. So there are actually quite a lot of photographs from temples and historical religious sites in the show.
When you go to those places, temples and spiritual places, do you feel the kind of, what would you call it, spiritual presence that people go there on pilgrimages to find?
That's a difficult question to answer because I can't really feel what they're feeling. I found them fascinating because, unlike when you go to a place of worship here, there's so much going on within these temples. Many of them were massive, 17 acres in size, with many rooms. And I'm seeing things there that I don't necessarily understand. And the myths and the stories about the gods can vary so much from location to location in India. You know, one person will tell you one story, and then in another location they'll have another story about how Parvati met Shiva. So I went in thinking, I'm not necessarily going to understand what's going on here, but I find it really fascinating, and visually it's very, very rich. And there's always something interesting to see and watch. It could be a family coming and making prayers. It might be how they've decorated or wrapped a certain statue. It could be a priest. There were a lot of young men who were there making pilgrimage. It was kind of like, in this country, you'd think of it as a church group outing. You know, it was an opportunity for them to travel. So people are very friendly. I got to meet a lot of people, and I had almost as much fun watching as I did photographing.
Now, did you have the kind of refreshing of your vision that you had hoped for?
I would say yes. I didn't have any... I didn't set any parameters or specific goals for myself. My only goal was to see and to be with my camera and to photograph if I felt inspired, or to just look. And I would say that I was really successful. I came away with some images that I'm very pleased with. And I've printed some of them very, very large, 30 by 40. And I'm very pleased with the images. They're really stunning. One of the things that I got to experience and photograph when I was in India was a ceremony, a dance ritual that took place in a small village. And it's called a thayam, which means the god's dance. And the dancers come out in these very elaborate costumes. And they believe that through the ritual of the dance, the dancer actually becomes a living god. And then the villagers make prayers to the living god and give money to the living god. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And I have a wonderful photograph from that in the show.
Amazing.
And I did come away with some bad pictures as well, which won't be in the show.
We're talking to Jane Bernard. Now, turning to Tamara Bates, you are bringing the items that are in the trunk show, weavings and clothing, by women in the, what is it? It's the Gandhi Ashram in India. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a project that's based in Ahmedabad, Gujarat. It's one of the ashrams that Gandhi founded. So he founded three throughout India. This is the last one that he founded before he died. This project is part of a larger organization called Manav Sadhana that feeds 4,000 kids a day and runs schools and orphanages. And about 15 years ago, they decided they had to start doing something with the mothers. So now we kind of take for granted that the way to really change a family and to really alter the trajectory of poverty is to give a woman a job, give a woman the ability to earn income. But even 15 years ago, that was kind of a radical idea, that you would do something so that these women who live in the slums, and the largest slum in Ahmedabad is actually across the street from the Gandhi Ashram, that if you let them make an income, it would change their children's lives and for the better in their life.
And so up until that time, what were these women doing?
They weren't working. There's really no childcare system in India. So all of these women have small children at home. When I went there and I toured the slums, which is set on top of a sewer system, actually, the women live, the families, I didn't see the men. I'm really referring to the women because when I was there, the men were off working. So the women were the ones that were home. And they live in these kind of adobe-like structures, but that are small, like a curved adobe structure that's one room, and maybe four or five people will live in that room. They were immaculately dressed. They were beautiful in their saris and gold jewelry and, like, amazingly clean, much cleaner than I was, you know, getting off the plane and going over there. I mean, there's no running water, so I don't know how that happened. But anyway, the women are the ones who are making these clothes, and I have shawls and quilts and pillow covers and other items for the home, and they use really, they buy very high quality fabric. Everything's hand done, because this is a way that women can take these items back into their home, and so they're still able to watch their children while they're sewing these items. But kind of the secondary aim of the project is to protect traditional forms of embroidery and other art forms.
So like the snakes and the crocodiles, these are endangered?
Well, in that area, in that region of Gujarat, there's 10 different kinds of embroidery techniques that really are only in that area. And yes, I mean, with modernization, you know, people aren't doing these forms as much as they used to.
And so you are here in Santa Fe selling these beautiful things. And I went to another event once some months ago where you and Jane were, again, showing photographs. Jane was showing photographs and you were selling these items. And they are indeed very beautiful. Do they have outlets all over the world? Or where else besides, for example, here in Santa Fe with you, do they sell their embroidery and textiles?
So they're in the Taj Hotel gift shops throughout India, which is you know, a big win for them. That just happened a year ago, I believe, or 2 years ago.
That's huge.
I'm really the only person in the United States doing this, and I've made a goal this year to expand to other cities in the United States, because what happened, I found out that just doing this as a volunteer over 5 years, doing a show at Christmas time and maybe one show in the summer, I raised $20,000 that I sent back to India, and that was able to employ 30 women over 3 years.
Oh my goodness.
So once someone told me that, I decided, okay, I've got to really make this work. I've got to put more energy and time into it. So, you know, I'm not trying to make a living off of selling these things. I'm investing all the money back in the business. But my goal is to have 10 other cities. You know, so I'm developing the wholesale side. So I'm selling to stores. So, for example, Victoria Price is carrying my things here. And I feel so fortunate that she's doing that.
So you, Jane Bernard, are going to be doing other things at Victoria Price, which we can talk about in the future. There's a project that she's doing to bring affordable art. It's called Art Within Reach, which
Correct.
Is bringing affordable art to people. Mm-hmm. And is any of that art going to be available in this show?
There are some smaller pieces, and I worked with Victoria, and we have printed some 8x12 images that are mounted on bamboo block, and they're going to be priced between $200 and $250. And then there are also larger, more expensive pieces. But Victoria feels really strongly that she wants to make art accessible to everyone.
And you will also be teaching classes like an iPhone photography class.
That's correct.
Who knew that there was so much to learn? But of course, there's crazy, fancy, interesting apps on the iPhone for photography.
There are amazing things that you can do with apps. And actually, I have a couple of images in my show that were shot with my iPhone. And that will be on the 25th of this month. Excuse me, that's on the 27th of this month. And on the 25th, Victoria and I will be speaking about ways of seeing at her gallery.
Okay. And so that's a kind of a talk that you and she are doing to help people learn to see in new ways?
Yes.
All right. So all of this is happening at Victoria Price Art and Design here in Santa Fe. The opening of the show, India, A Personal Journey, Photographs by Jane Bernard, is tomorrow, Wednesday, from 5 to 7. And it will be, as we said, accompanied by this trunk show of fine weavings by women in India, the Gramshri Trust, Tamara Bates with Art for Social Change, Jane Bernard, photographer. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having us, Mary Charlotte.